refusing to subject itself to the will of God is here in the mastery of our sexual drives and using the holy, blessed gift of sexual desire for the stabilization and the procreation of families, which is the will of God. Once the human will refuses to submit to the divine will in that way, what happens to the mind? The mind becomes darkened. What a cheap verb. It becomes blind to the truth. Is there a general statement of the Catholic Church on the morality of homosexuality? Yes. According to the Church's infallible teaching, a person engaging in homosexual behavior acts immorally, acts contrary to the will of God. And over the centuries, the Church has never questioned the moral gravity, mortal sin, of deliberate, conscious homosexual acts. I hope you agree that answering questions is a very important part. So let me do this now. Let me start answering questions. When we see people being disrespectful of or toward the real presence, or people receiving communion unworthily, what responsibility do we have to inform them? Well, there's a general principle in moral theology, our responsibility to correct those who are doing wrong is conditioned on two factors. First, what prospect is there of having that person whom we correct following or accepting our correction? Am I clear? There must be reasonable grounds for expecting that person to accept what I tell them. And secondly, prudence. That person surely needs to put in mildly correction. But am I the one, in this circumstance, am I the one to make the correction? Am I clear? Somebody should do it. Should it be I? Then, what if we know that he or they are not Catholic? Well, then of course, as kindly as you can, tell that non-Catholic person. Maybe you don't know, but we Catholics believe that Jesus himself is present here in the Holy Eucharist, and we always behave reverently because Jesus is here. What can you tell us about the new Bishop of Chicago? First of all, the new Bishop of Chicago is a close friend of mine. And the friendship is mutual. We know each other well. He is a strong, believing Catholic. But as you realize, the archdiocese which he inherited, he'll make heroic demands, both on his knowledge of the faith and his courage. Pray for Archbishop George. Could you comment, on the new Archbishop, Francis George of Chicago? I would not only comment, I could give, at least a 2-week course on Archbishop George. But pray for him. I find the rule or regulation that we are to say the Regina Caeli in place of the Angelus during the Easter season in any standard book of approved prayers, especially in the so-called Racolta of a double C, O-L-T-A, Racolta. During the Easter season, it should be the Regina Caeli. How should we train our wills? Where do we start as adults? Well, it's never too late. The most important thing we need to train our wills is to know the truth. The will, as we've said so many times, is a blind faculty. The will must be led by the mind. As the mind knows what is the true good, the will which wants to choose what is good, may choose all kind of quotes goods, which are not the true good. So the most important thing you need to train the will is to know with your mind what is the truth. And hear the truth in the church's infallible teaching in the moral order. There is one book which I would not dare recommend reading, but called Situation Ethics. Thin book, maybe 120 pages in size. Sold, I'm sure, millions of copies. Published by an Anglican, if you please, theologian in England. Widely distributed in the United States. A man's name, Fletcher. His book on situation ethics undermines every single truth of Christianity in the moral order. Adultery used to be sinful in the old age, but no longer. So on down the line, including abortion, which used to be considered murder, but we've grown up. Homosexuality, which used to be called sodomy, but no more. So, you train the will by enlightening your mind on what is the true teaching, on what is truly good. And then, watch it. I think another recommendation, each of these questions, by the way, I could spend 2 hours on. I've got to restrain myself. Besides training the mind, learning what is the true good, so the will will not just choose what it likes, you must practice. Father, please don't say it. I'll repeat it. You must practice the daily examination of conscience. In the vocabulary of our faith, it's called the daily examen, E-X-A-M-E-N. Daily examine your conscience. Daily, daily. I'll ask my guardian angel to tell your guardian angel to keep you from falling asleep. If you go to bed without having made your examen of conscience. For me, the rule is twice daily, 15 minutes twice a day. I'm sure we've gone over this before. First, what have I done, pardon me, what have I received from God during the day for which I should thank Him? Gratitude. And don't thank God only for the things that you like. Things that were painful. Question. Are all graces from God pleasant? Are they? Yes or no? Are there painful graces?
Yes.
Oh, please don't tell your wife. Abel, I never knew you are grace in my life. But I have to say it. A painful grace? No, no, don't say that. So first, to thank God for the graces and blessings He's giving you during the day. Secondly, what have you done contrary to God's will during the day? Let me tell you, some people can be so blind, I'm not exaggerating, they think they've gone through a whole day, 24 hours, without doing anything wrong. Do you know there are such people? Talk about insanity. I have a graduate degree in psychology. One of my definitions of insanity. What have I done wrong? And thirdly, planning. What should I do? How should I behave in the next 24 hours? And the best norm for what I should do in the next 24 hours is not do what I did the last 24 hours, which my conscience told me was wrong. Gosh, I shouldn't spend so much time. I was asked, if there is one church where there are so many miracles taking place in all denominations, oh, thanks for the question. There are three kinds of miracles. First, the first is spelled M-I-R-A-C-L-E, miracle. Those are things which God does that surpass the laws of nature. Which God does. And the second is spelled, and you put this in quotation marks, quote, same spelling, close quotes, and these can be performed. Pardon me. These are performed by people. And there was no action of God surpassing the powers of nature. Call them pseudo-miracles. Over the years, I've both had occasion to examine, well, alleged mystics. And they perform, quote, miracles. Again, my eye, you know which eye I mean. The range of human psychology is vast. So many things that seem to be miracles are not. And because I've taught miracles for years, one semester for about 13 years on miracles. One of my unpublished books is a 500-page manuscript on miracles. It wasn't yet. We might be working on getting that manuscript published, finished. Pseudo-miracles. Christian Science. Oh. All kinds of pseudo-miracles. Mystics. Oh. I think I told you about the father. When I was interviewing a, quote, woman mystic, a priest who was counseling her and her father and then this woman mystic. I think I told you this. After about an hour's conversation, my third meeting with a mystic, unquote, father got up and he stared at me and shouted, do I hear you saying that you doubt that my daughter has mystical experiences? I couldn't tell a lie. Of course, I don't. He picked up his belongings, took his daughter, and, well, not just walked, ran out of the room. Thirdly, what are called miracles that are the effects of the evil spirit. And their number is legion. Over the years, in teaching the non-Christian religions, and having published 3 books on the non-Christian religions, having taught Hindus in India, while teaching a home study course from Loyola University in Chicago, I found I knew more about Hinduism than those Hindus in India. Once you've got the true faith, you can analyze these other religions down to the last iota. There are many quotes, miraculous phenomena, among not just denominations, but the non-Christian religions. And as I'm sure you know, most non-Christian religions, certainly outside of Orthodox Judaism and Islam, believe in many gods. And all these polytheistic religions, and the number is in the billions, billions, they believe in what we would call evil deities. They need to be propitiated. Sacrifices offered to them. Over the centuries, most abortions were performed by those who were propitiating their gods, who demanded the murder. And I see abortions, but especially infanticides. The sacrifice of children. The Aztecs in South America, on the big feast days, up to 10,000 children were murdered in sacrifice to their gods. Do I understand correctly that Satan has a unique, masterful plan to capture each one of our souls? The answer is an emphatic yes. And hear it. And Satan, over the centuries, uses the state, civil authority, in order to, well, put into practice his masterful plan to capture each one of our souls. The state. That is why, from the first century, the church has taught, that is why Pontius Pilate made the Apostles' Creed. Let's recite the Apostles' Creed together till we reach Pontius Pilate. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son of our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. Stop. From the beginning of the Church's history, the Church has declared Pontius Pilate is the Apostles' Creed because it is the state, civil authority, that Satan mainly uses to crush, as he has so successfully done over the centuries, the Catholic Church and the followers of Christ. Could the recent cult suicides in California be called a work of the evil spirit? Yes. What a safe statement, Kevorkian is an agent of the devil. What is your opinion of the Navarre Study Bible of the New Testament? Does anybody by any chance have a copy of one of the books? Do you have it? Have it here?
I don't have it here.
Okay. Well, I think I've said this before. It's published, as you know, by Opus Dei. And they are, in my judgment, good. However, when I was teaching in New York, I had meetings for over a year with the Opus Dei people. And the plan was, they were already then planning the Navarre Bible Commentary, which is now, as you know, in print and growing. We met for months planning a good English translation of the Vulgate text of the Bible. I was being asked to supervise the English translation of the Vulgate Old and New Testaments. I was deeply interested, but and money was no consideration. And there would be scholars that I could be working with. But the time that I had at my disposal, I finally decided, after prayer, not to accept the very welcome invitation. So what did the people do? They chose the Revised Standard Version. And those of you that know the Navarre Bible, would you know, my memory tells me, that both the New and the Old Testament Navarre interpretation is based on the text of the Revised Standard Version. Would you know that? That's what my memory tells me. Now, the Revised Standard Version is the Anglican Bible. So when I saw that, I said a prayer immediately, Lord, please, Lord, enlighten us. The Revised Standard Version is not the Vulgate official text of the Catholic Bible. The commentary is sound, but then you better be dealing with authentic, sound Catholic biblical material. Is Father Raymond Brown a reliable interpreter of the Gospel of St. John? If not, whom would you recommend? Well, since Father Raymond Brown, this is not a retaliation. Given what he said about Father Hardin's Catholic Catechism, remember, a disaster. I'm not doing this because he said that, but because it's true. No, Father Raymond Brown's interpretation of the Gospel of St. John is not reliable. If not, whom you therefore recommend? I've given you the names of two biblical commentaries. I can bring more to class, if somebody would remind me, by June the 15th. What is the significance of wearing the red vestments at Mass today? Oh, Pentecost Sunday. How did the Holy Spirit appear when he descended on Pentecost Sunday? In what? Fiery tongues. Now it depends, of course, on sometimes even on all fire, but natural fire is what? Quite red. But there's another reason. And, shall I say, a deeper reason. What is the most important syllable in the word confirmation, the sacrament of confirmation? Firm, right? Firm. In other words, we define the sacrament of confirmation as a sacrament of spiritual strengthening, of becoming spiritually firm. Firm in what? Firm in our faith. Now, in St. Luke, who both describes Pentecost in the Acts of the Apostles and describes or narrates Christ's prediction. Remember, they would send power from on high. Wait and pray. Then he told his disciples, what you will receive from the Holy Spirit will make you witnesses, my witnesses, in Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Who remembers? Oh, my day is made. Who remembers the word in the original Greek, not the Greek word, but the meaning that Jesus used when he said, you will be my witnesses. Martyrs. The main reason for read in the vestments today is that the Holy Spirit came down on the apostles, and our Pentecost Sunday was the day we were confirmed. The main reason we were confirmed was to be martyrs. That's what Jesus said, is martyrs, to shed our blood in witnessing to his name. Thanks for the question. I want to apologize for sometimes raising my voice. And one reason is people tell me, Father, would you please speak louder? One of the children of Fatima, Lucy, is still alive. Should he expect some significant event to occur during her life? And we may expect it. I'm not sure our expectation will be fulfilled. However, as I'm sure you know, Lucy has been silenced by the Pope. Good, loving Saintly Lucy. For some years after 1917, this year, by the way, is what? 70th anniversary. Is it 70th? Oh, 80th. 80th anniversary. Good, lovable Lucy. You must excuse her. She talked too much. And bishops have come, cardinals have come. My gosh, shouldn't she talk to a bishop? Well, she was ordered by the Holy Father to not speak to persons unless they were authorized by ecclesiastical authority. In any case, from what I know, that some wonderful things have already taken place during now Lucy's long lifetime. When she dies, we will learn more. I heard Mother Teresa had traveled to Rome. Can you tell us what her plans are for the future? I'll find out when I meet her. You know, she's coming to the United States. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes. Now, the 2 days that I have are June the 8th for Washington and June the 12th for New York. And she has marvelously recovered her health. So her plans are, having spoken with her for hours in Calcutta, as I think I've told you, both last fall and this winter, this year, a great desire is to promote devotion to the Holy Eucharist and loyalty to the Bishop of Rome are two big desires. Bishop Ottener is back from his sabbatical. Is there any chance I was leaving anytime soon? And I'm being taped, am I? I don't know. But, tell you what, I will try by June the 15th to call up Bishop Ottener and find out what his plans are for the future. It's one of my jobs for the church, talking to bishops. what could I send a priest who says Mother of Jesus instead of Mother of God in a second Eucharistic prayer? Well, depending on how educated the priest is, that's exactly what Nestorius, the Patriarch of Constantinople, said. He was condemned in 431 A.D., who started the Nestorian heresy. So, well, you might, if you want to, make a photocopy. I think it covers about two pages in the Catholic Catechism. Send him something about the condemnation of Nestorius, who did just that. Mary is the mother of Jesus. She's not the mother of God. I was questioned by a friend who was once a Catholic. Question: why doesn't Adam Cardinal Mitre discipline Bishop Gumbelton, says he is condoning and encouraging homosexuality? What an answer. Only God knows why. Or better, why not? I could say, and look at that red light, I could say so much, but such prudence as I have, shall I say, prevents me from saying more. Where did the term gay come from? Does anybody here know? I know one reason for the word gay. In other words, to appropriate a term which would signify, well, being gay. However, I'll try to, by the 15th, and would you remind me, to check out the historical etymology of gay. What can we do in the face of the continuous onslaught of the promotion and acceptance of homosexuality? Now first, I would say, and this, in a way, is crucial. We must, each one of us, according to our state of life, practice, and I use the words deliberately, practice heroic chastity. Fidelity to our married chastity, fidelity to our, for me, celibate chastity, the unmarried fidelity to their, well, unmarried chastity. Only chaste people will obtain the grace for those who are practicing the crime of sodomy. This is an answer. Where did the church get the authority to choose the books of the Bible? What is your opinion of the answer? Question. I'm not sure what paper this is from. Here he is. Oscata, Michigan. In what diocese? Oscata, Michigan.
Lansing.
Please?
Lansing.
Lansing, thank you. That's a long answer. Where and how did the church get the authority to decide the books of the Catholic Bible? Where did the church arrive at that decision? Both sections, the Hebrew Old Testament and the Greek New Testament, developed over a period of about 1,500 years. If you've listened to people debate the merits of the Catholic and Protestant Bibles, you know the issue isn't settled yet. First, let's dispel the notion that the Bible was hand-delivered by an angel with a divine injunction that it's completely inerrant and contains everything you will ever need to believe and be saved. A firm no to all 3 points. And I presume the one behind this is a priest, I presume.
Yes, Father.
Yes. Is he?
Pictures on the other side.
Oh. Father Isidore Mikulski. He needs instruction. It took 1,000 years before they, that's the people, got around to making a list of all sorts of books, some more suitable for temple use and private burial than others. They felt no need to put a fence around it. There was no rigidly fixed Hebrew canon until the 2nd century A.D. Even then, it was not complete. Oh. Let's see Hail Mary for the Father. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen. See the wisdom of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. There's also a Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, a special favor for the Greek-speaking Jews. We won't go into that. By comparison, the Greek New Portion meant like speed writing, taking only about 75 years from Paul's first letter as to John's Apocalypse, with the four Gospels between the 60s and 90s. Who would be better qualified to decide what was authentic than the people who were closest to the source? Our early Catholic ancestors based their acceptance on whether the book was part of the family heritage used in community service. We, as Catholics, knew what books belong to the Bible from the 2nd century A.D. Now, it is not true to say that our early Catholic ancestors based their acceptance on whether the book was part of the family Bible used in community service. It was the Vicar of Christ, the Bishop of Rome, who made the decision. And that is why, as I think I've told some of you, on Wednesdays when I'm in Detroit, we have a class on the Catholic understanding of the Bible. The class begins at 7 o'clock on Neff. Is it Neff Road?
Neff.
N-E-F-F. N-E-F-F. In Grosse Pointe. Anybody remember the number? What is it?
She thinks it's 576.
Okay. Anyway, so Wednesday evenings, 7 to 8:30, I have a class on the Catholic understanding of the Bible. And it's the way I've written most of my books, by first teaching them verbally. What is your opinion of Father Gobi and the Marian movement of priests? Well, I think the Marian movement of priests is a beautiful thing. Regarding Father Gobi, I know Father Gobi personally. I was giving some lectures in Chicago. That's a few years ago. And after the lecture, one of my, person in the audience told me, Father Gobi wants to see you today. He is staying in Chicago at a Holiday Inn. I'll drive you to Father Gobi. So we met. He talked for about an hour and a half. First half in my broken Italian. In the second half, it was an interpreter. Father Gobi told me, Father, the questions you're asking me are the questions the Holy Father was asking me on whether my locutions are genuine or not. I'm quoting Father Gobi to me. Father Gobi said, I do not claim that any of my locutions are supernatural revelation. He told me. Father Gobi, I think, has a fertile imagination. He may well be, at least may well have been, an authentic mystic. However, nowadays I'm told when he gives a retreat to priests, during the retreat, he will distribute, well, his latest revelation from on high. All I can tell you is, no genuine mystic will ever publicize his or her own mysticism. I could say more. Can homosexual tendencies be compared to heterosexual tendencies? We all have tendencies, but must make sure they don't become actions. Yes. Yes. In other words, these tendencies, as we've been saying all along, are the results of original sin. This is one of the things I've told you. I lost my job teaching at the University of Ottawa. Winter terms, I go to Ottawa and teach theology there. But one of my students, a doctoral candidate, was writing a book defending polygamy, a priest defending polygamy. And I knew by rule, those who are given the responsibility of passing judgment on doctoral dissertation have no choice. They must accept what's given them by the dean. So I went to the dean and said, well, it's been a pleasure teaching here for the last 6 years. But I see you are being removed from the faculty. Finish the semester. If you never taught one more class at the University of Ottawa. And once has this priest wrote a whole book, widely circulated, defending polygamy. In other words, when Christ came into the world, is our faith. Monogamy was restored to the human race. As monogamy was, remember, binding on our first parents. Remember? Two in one flesh. Original sin then introduced polygamy. It is best known to the Lord. Polygamy was practiced, remember, until the time of Christ. And monogamy, how I like to say this, I'm sure I've said it before, monogamy is a divine law which only the Roman Catholic Church, no other religion in the world, teaches that absolute, strict monogamy is the divine law. Why? Because when God became man, he obtained or gained for the whole human race the grace to live in marriage, which is monogamous. One man, one woman, two in one flesh, and no more until death. In the old Lutheran Catechism book, where they believe their communion is the body and blood of Christ, how would one argue against this? Oh, thanks for the question. My 7 years in teaching, my dear Lutherans, at the School of Theology. Okay. They speak of the body and blood of Christ. But listen, how do they explain it? Unlike the Catholic Church, no Protestant who is a knowledgeable Protestant, who understands his Protestantism, who is sane and sober, would ever say that Christ instituted the sacrament of the priesthood, enabling ordained priests to change bread and wine into the living body and blood of Christ. No Lutheran. I may have told you the famous syllogism of Martin Luther. by which he denied, or we believe that bread and wine are changed into the living body and blood of Christ. It comes in three parts. One, two, three. Part one. Said Luther, and I would ask you to tell me, is this statement true? God is everywhere. Is that true?
Yes.
That's number one. Number two. Christ is God. Is that true?
Yes.
Therefore, concluded Luther, therefore, Christ is everywhere. Is that true?
No.
Is Christ really, physically, present everywhere?
No.
At the Annunciation of Our Lady, when the angel appeared to her at Nazareth, and she said, "Be it done to me according to your word," and the angel left her, God became man in the womb of his mother Mary. Right? Now, for the 9 months that Mary carried her son in her womb, where was Christ?
In her womb.
In her womb. That's where the Eucharist began. Do you hear me? Began the womb of Mary. And in Bethlehem, when Christ was born, and she had him in her arms, where was Christ? In Mary's arms.